shall go in Christ the reign, the reign of Christ's Son, be Christ the King. And our scripture for today is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 36. And it's the judgment of the nations. And it's, like I said, the last Sunday of the Christian year. Advent begins the new Christian year. And what a way to end Matthew with the parables we've been through, preparing for the coming of the Lord. And as we read this scripture, it gives us some insight of when the Lord comes. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and put the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family. Then he will say to those on the left hand, you that are cursed, depart from me into eternal fire and prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did nothing to welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when is it that we saw you hungry or thirsty? Or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you, then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And then these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, this is Jesus, according to Matthew, this is Jesus' last public speaking to the out speaking his parables to the public. We all know that he'll go on to his Last Supper. He's in Jerusalem. And he's around what he now considers his family, all those that he has called his disciples and the disciples that have made disciples and those that are around him. These are the people he's talking to, the people that he's been showing day in and day out what the love of God looks like. What it takes to accept that love and be like Christ. Our last two parables taught us how to be prepared for the coming of Christ. And I thought about our oil parable when I was thinking about how are we going to keep this light burning until Christmas Eve. And I thought, well, we'll get oil lamps. So we'll just keep, when the oil runs out, one will make sure that we have oil for the lamp to keep it burning, just like Scripture told us. And then we learned last week about how we shouldn't waste those talents. Anything that God gives us in our life should not be wasted. When we spoke about it, we spoke of talents as gifts or things that we could do physically that we've been trained to do or that help each other. Also, in the Bible, those words talents are about money. And so we're given different gifts of talents and talents to give. So there's all different ways that God's word calls us to be prepared for the coming of Christ and prepare ourselves. And so while we wait, these parables teach us how to wait. And that's what Advent's all about, learning how to be patient and wait. I think we've been a very patient people in Christianity. We're waiting 2023 years now, going to 2000. But as long as the waiting is beautiful, you know, we have Christ right here with us. And that is what the scripture is about today. Christ is explaining now what it judgment. And I thought what was so beautiful, it all fit in with what the last two parables taught us. Like, as we're waiting, how do we wait? And how do we recognize Jesus? And Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go away. He tells the disciples over and over again that there will be a time when he will have to go away, and he's not the king that they expected, you know that. I've been recently on YouTube watching a lot about London because I have a trip planned there in the summer, and my grandmother was born in London, so some of my family members and I are going to go over to London to visit. But I've been watching things about the royalty that I never really paid any attention to before because I knew I'd never get close to them to even know, and just some of the splendor and all that you see when you see them come out of their palace with that golden coach and the, you know, all the jewels and everything they have. And I thought, no wonder people didn't understand Christ, because they lived in a society like that. They were living in a society where there was a king that was all powerful and filled with jewels and castles, and here's Jesus, just a nomad walking around. And now it says that this is the king that went to be seated after his death, that God took him to be seated at the right hand. But the more beautiful thing we learn is that when we act like Jesus Christ, when we believe and we are saved through Jesus Christ, we are going to get to sit and see that from the view of Christ at his right hand. It says that in the last days, and Jesus tells all this. It's like people should not be surprised. But what we'll see in here is even the people that were listening to Jesus, he says to them, when I come again and I separate those who live like I asked them to live and had the power of God in them and those that didn't, even the ones that lived like Jesus expected, we call the righteous, we're a little perplexed, like, when did I see you, Jesus? You know, they ask that question. When did I do these good things? When did I see you? Where were you that I saw you? And Jesus simply says that I'll answer to them when you fed the hungry, when you went amongst the least of these, like I walked in this world. This is when you saw me, and this is when you served me. The most important thing in Jesus' life as he came to this world was serving others. And we're told over and over and over again in our Christian life how important service is, how important it is to serve each other. And the people that Jesus was talking to that day were probably people that already started to follow his way, the church that he was going to leave behind. Prepare the rest of the world, the nations that would come before his feet, and prepare them to meet Jesus again. They had to learn that this powerful God, now we're talking powerful in the fact that we know, raises Jesus Christ from the dead. A powerful God that is filled with a powerful love that offers us that same powerful love within us. You know, when we say yes to Jesus, that's what we're saying yes to. When we say we live with the Holy Spirit within us, we're living with that same powerful Holy Spirit within us that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of love, the Spirit to give. And so when I was reading this, I thought, doesn't this just sound too easy? I mean, really, when we go out to tell people where we get the joy in our lives and where we can find happiness in the dark, where our light comes from, doesn't it sound like it's pretty easy? But you know, it's only easy for us because we trust in God and because we have that faith in God. Because with our faith gives that deep ability to love like God loved from the very beginning of creation. That's what we get from being saved through Christ. We get this deep love that when I say to you, we go out and do things for people without even thinking. You know, like, we don't even ask ourselves again, well, do I have enough food for me if I'm going to give food to the food bank? Many of us are blessed to have more than enough, and do we say to ourselves, maybe some of that belongs to the food bank? And that's the love of Christ working within us. That's the love that God has given us, and that's what Jesus was talking to the righteous about here. The righteous are those that they heal, they pray, they love, they give. As natural as taking a breath. Now, we have a chance in this time of waiting in Advent to ask ourselves, and in this last day of the Christian year, to look over the last year and say, were there times that I questioned whether I really wanted to do something that maybe Christ was asking me to do? Were there times I hesitated, not trusting, not having enough faith that if I did this, God would be with me and help me through it and help me get to that place wherever God calls us to be? Do we think things through too much, or do we have that faith in us and that trust in God in us that we, when we feel God calling us to do something, we can say, yeah, okay, I'll go do that. It's scary. It is really scary sometimes. But it's a faith that grows in us year by year as we mature as Christians. And it's a faith that helps us so that we can honestly say to other people that you can have the same joy I have, because my joy doesn't come from me. My joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit within me. So I can offer you this, but first I need to offer you my faith that God loved me so much that he sent his only son to die for me, so that I can put away all baggage of the sins that are weighing me down and turn to God and ask God to take that all from me. And I can then be the righteous in this story in Matthew today. I can be the one that has that trust in my heart to say yes to whatever God calls me to. That I can have that total faith and joy. So the righteous were a little confused when they saw Jesus. So you can imagine how the unrighteous felt when Jesus said, I was right there in the hungry, and I was right there in those in prison. And one thing I learned new while I was studying the scripture is the people in prison, until they went to trial, were fed by their families. It wasn't a prison system where we have now where, you know, the government provides meals and our tax money provides meals. Their family took care of the people in prison until they went to trial. They would bring meals and make sure they had the clothes they needed and everything. And that's when Jesus was saying, did you visit me in prison? But there were also people in prison that had no family. And Jesus was saying to them, these are the people too that need you to visit. When you go to visit your family, bring others in prison things that they need also, or they'll sit there alone with nothing. It was a very deep time of service for Jesus so that he could teach others and show them all the people that needed to be helped and reached out to. We have a wonderful container out here. Winter time's coming. I'm sure we all have maybe a second coat in our coat closet, and we can think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it, but until we bring it here and put it in the container out here, no one's going to be wearing it this winter. You know, we get busy with life, and we forget the least of these. We get busy with life because we have what we need, and we forget that there's other people out there that might be in need. So this is like right in front of our face. You know, it's every time we walk in and out of this church from that direction, we see out there a bin to help people that may be cold, or even warm in the summer, when if you have summer clothes to go in there. But it's
right in our face to help people in need.
We know there are hungry people because I'm sure Lenore gets calls for the food in the closet. Do we have some food in our house that we can replace what's going out to the people? See, that's what God calls us into community for. Because if I tried to fill that whole closet, I might not be able to afford to fill that whole closet. But if each one of us brought something from our home, from our cabinet that's already overflowing, we're ready for the next person that needs food. That's right in the kitchen, right next to where we go have our coffee and our donuts and our fellowship together. It's right in front of our eyes, each and every Sunday when we walk in here, each and every time we walk into that kitchen. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach the people. Right in front of your eyes are people that need to be healed, people that need to be loved, people that need to be fed, people that need to be clothed, people that may need a ride to a doctor's appointment, people that may need us to sit in while they go out if they have people in their home who can't go out with them. There are so many ways that we can serve the way Jesus served. In closing, I just would like to say there was one word that really stuck out to me in the end, and it was when Jesus turned to the unrighteous and said, "Depart from me." And that really struck me in my heart because I thought what it must feel like to know that God was not going to be with you every minute of every day. When Jesus said to the unrighteous, "Depart from me. Forget the hell and the brimstone and the fire forever and eternity, but being without God in your life." And if you cannot imagine living your life without Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Trinity guiding you, then imagine how the people feel that they've not even been told yet. The people of the nations that will come to the feet of Jesus. Maybe, Percy, that's where you're called on this trip. Maybe there's somebody that never heard about Jesus who will be on this trip, and all you'll do is love them and maybe help them fix a flat tire, and the next thing you know, you'll be able to talk to them. Amen. We'll pray for that. But it's as easy as going out to the grocery store and letting somebody get in front of you that might have more groceries, or giving them one of your extra carry-all bags because they forgot theirs. You know, so many easy things that we can do in this world. And so many times Jesus Christ is right in front of our eyes, and we can say, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was Jesus." Well, if we just go out and help everybody, we know we've helped Jesus. So as the year ends and the new year begins, I ask you, can you take some minutes, maybe this week, to look back on the year behind us and see if you remember any time that God may have been calling you to be the righteous person that you are, and then to look forward into the new year and see if God is calling you to anything different than you're doing, or calling you to suggest something the church could be doing. And then as a family, never feel alone. As a family, we can do this together, because that's why Christ called the community. Christ didn't walk around the earth healing by himself. We know he went out and got the disciples, and they went out and got disciples, and that's what we're going to keep doing 2,000 years later. We're going to take this message that we have, this Christmas message that's coming up. We get so excited when we hear that flame is coming from Bethlehem, but guess what? Jesus already came. And that's what should excite us every day of our lives. He is here right now. Whether there's a flame here or not, Jesus is here. But you see how excited we get when we think of that light coming from Bethlehem? That's why the light comes from Bethlehem, to get us excited again so that we can live. So when that day in Matthew that Jesus told us is coming, each and every one of us can be put to the side of it.